HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Israel Defense Forces say its fighter jets have dropped a bomb on a Hamas commander who directed massacres at two Israeli settlements October 7th. CBS's Ian Lee says ground troops are heading deeper into Gaza.
It looks like they're taking their time going after Hamas positions, especially because of that vast tunnel network. We're hearing that there are, though, large battles taking place in the northern part of Gaza.
Maine Governor Jeanette Mills promises a closer look at red flag warnings. Ignored by police ahead of last week's mass shooting in Lewiston.
Why did it happen in the first place? And what measures may have been in place that weren't used or were used? And that's what we'll get to the bottom of.
Bundle up your trick-or-treater tonight. Meteorologist David Parkinson says it'll be extra cold in the central and eastern U.S.
As the sun goes down, you are below freezing, certainly, for your Halloween evening.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers says he isn't sold on a Republican-led bill to address PFAS in Wisconsin. The bill would create a grant program to help communities affected by PFAS chemicals and provide aid, but it would also limit the State Department of Natural Resources' ability to hold those polluters accountable. Evers didn't commit to either sign or veto the bill in an interview with Wisconsin Eye Monday. Governor Evers and Republicans who control the state legislature remain far apart on boosting Wisconsin's economy and dealing with the state's child care crisis. Republicans are proposing wide-ranging tax cuts and child care deregulation. The Democratic governor says he'd veto those bills.
That is not going to impact inflation. If we're worried about inflation, let's do a middle-class tax cut, and that's it.
Evers appeared on the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call are once again calling on the state Supreme Court to throw out current legislative maps, this time in a response brief filed yesterday. Evers also took to Twitter, stating, "It's not simple, not one more election should be held under the gerrymandered maps we have now, and we must have new maps in place before the next election." The state Supreme Court recently voted to accept a case challenging the legislative maps. A recent report from the Wisconsin Center for Manufacturing and Productivity found that manufacturers in the state aren't giving enough consideration to the effects artificial intelligence could have on the industry. The survey found hundreds of manufacturers are not concerned or even thinking about how artificial intelligence could impact their business. The survey also found the biggest concern for manufacturers is attracting and retaining talented workers. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Bucks hold on to beat the Miami Heat. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens. Milwaukee jumped out to an early 25-point lead, but the Heat came back. The Bucks held on to win 122-114. Damian Lillard had 25 points and was asked, how did the Bucks' backup players perform?
I think they just responded really well, you know, coming off last night. I think everybody understood that, you know, when we don't move the ball and, you know, create opportunities for each other, our offense can struggle, scramble situations.
The Bucks are in Toronto tomorrow night. College football. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell asked about receiver Chimray Dike or running back Braylon Allen on their injury status.
No, don't know a whole lot. They were out of practice on Sunday. Didn't do a whole lot. Have to find out some things as we move forward in the week.
The Packers face the Rams Sunday. Rashawn Gary says as he signed his new $107 million contract, he remembered the night he got the call being drafted by the Packers in the first round.
First time I got a phone call and I picked up and realized it was the Packers.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We will gradually become partly cloudy and the wind will die down here throughout the day today. Our high right around 36 this afternoon. It is going to be a cold one for the kiddos. Trick-or-treat temperatures in the mid-20s, so definitely a winter coat under the costume type of Halloween. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, high of 37. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown
and all of Wisconsin.
93.5, The Tap.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Big party, man.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number and happy birthday. Oh, that was yesterday. Yesterday was Calvin's birthday.
Calvin's birthday. Holy cow. Yeah. So now he's of age.
Oh, yeah. He's
older than that.
He's getting to be an old guy. He's turned 25.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all downhill from there.
Multiply that times three, Calvin.
Hey, when you get
close to us.
When you hit 25, you're going downhill, right?
No, you know, at 25, you begin to realize you don't know everything. It's the beginning of the end.
We're talking around Calvin. Hey, Calvin, so what's different now at 25?
I can't say a whole lot. I feel pretty much the same.
Can you believe you're 25 now, man? Did it come fast to you?
You know what happens now, Calvin?
It did come fast.
Old ladies will give you their seat on the bus.
Did it come fast, man?
Yeah, you know, sometimes I still feel like a 22, 23-year-old. 25 seems like a big number, but
yeah,
we're living.
You're living the dream, Calvin. That's what you're living.
All right. Welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesday, and now it's Tuesdays with Sandy Williams. It used to be Monday with Sandy Williams. How you doing, Sandy?
I'm jumping around the week.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me before we get into it, good morning to Richland Center, Amory, Oshkosh, Green Bay, Hayward, Racine, Eau Claire, La Crosse, Milwaukee, Waukesha, and on and on and on. We're honored to have you guys on board, and we're honored to be in your presence. So, Sandy, you were saying?
Well, no, I was just like, it's snowing here. I bet you it's snowing around, up in northern Wisconsin. They probably are thinking it's been winter for longer than we're beginning to realize it.
Well, you know, Sandy, it's it's a month early.
Yeah. Although, you know, you and I both remember high school playing football in the snow.
Oh, absolutely.
So, you know, this used to be the norm.
Yeah, but it's October.
Yeah, deer hunting coming.
Yeah.
You know, deer hunting's pretty soon, and deer hunters all want snow. This is, they're looking at this
too
with
early.
Excitement.
Huh? Too early. We got enough time ahead of us
to
get snow, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, man, it's just so much to talk about, Sandy. We have to get at right away what is happening with expenditures that are earmarked. President Biden put together a $100 billion, $200 million package to deal $60 billion to go to Ukraine, $40 billion to go to Israel, $100 million to go to the Palestinians. I don't know how many millions to go to Taiwan and others, and then additional resources to go to Israel for the Israeli people. And in the face of that, a critical time, this money is needed. The Republicans and the new House Speaker, they want to tie some strings to that.
They're just looking for leverage. You know, they have leverage. At least they think they have leverage. And so what they want to do is they want to separate Israel and give that a rubber stamp, because they know politically that would have a big backlash that would be damaging. But Ukraine, I think they've tested the water and have decided that the American public isn't quite so clear-cut on Ukrainian aid. And so they think they can use the president's desire to send aid to Ukraine as a bit of a lever to get something. And so what do they want to get out of it? Well, they're saying, well, you know, if we're going to fund this thing, we're going to take money out of the IRS. You know, they want to take money away from IRS funding that Biden and the Democrats want. They don't explain what's wrong with funding the IRS. You know, they act like that's money saved, when in fact, I think the Financial Audit Office for Congress has definitely said spending that money will increase the revenues, because they'll track down the people who should be paying taxes and make them pay taxes. So, this is all just about political leverage, and it's not responsible. I do think that our foreign expenditures on foreign affairs ought to be the subject of debate. We ought to be comparing it to, as well as our defense budget, we ought to be comparing it to the needs of our median families in terms of all the things that they struggle with that the government could be fixing, like the healthcare industry and the healthcare costs, like child daycare and things like that. But the way they're going about it now is not responsible.
Well, you and I have been talking about this as long as you and I have been on the radio, Sandy. It's even if the Democrats get their way, where does the $100 billion, at the expense of whom?
Right.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Democrats would say, well, we ought to increase revenues, and that is a responsible way to look at increased expenditure. The Republicans are willing to increase expenditures in a whole variety of categories and simply do it on the deficit. But when it comes time to increase expenditures for the benefit of the median families, for Tom, Dick, and Mary and their children, the Republicans say, no, suck it up. We can't afford that. Okay. And so I just think the debate in Washington is irresponsible. It's all just about political leverage. It's not about fundamental sound public policy.
So, Sandy, the median families and who have certainly been hit hard and continue to struggle, you know, even if, let's say, this $100 billion gets through, we know that the next budget, there's going to be a major increase in military spending. Because they're going to say, look, we've got to replenish the weapons from Ukraine, from Israel. We see now how dangerous the world is. We've got to ramp up everything even more, and there's got to be more money given.
Well, and in fact, the economic cynicism of our defense industry is being verbalized directly by Mitch McConnell and by Biden, both of them talking about how sending money off to Israel and particularly to Ukraine is good for our economy, because when they spend money on all these armaments, our defense industry gets amplified. Okay, and our economy creates new jobs, but we're creating new jobs in the defense industry, which makes our governments, which makes our economy even more dependent upon government expenditures for defense, which has been the military-industrial establishment curse that Dwight Eisenhower warned us about in his last year in office.
And Sandy, I will say as well that what percentage of the American people work in the defense industry? So we can say that it's going to increase the workload and the amount of money that the people who are already involved in the defense industry, But I don't know what percentage that is of the American people.
Well, I think,
I can't believe it's that great.
I think the percent of GDP that's devoted directly to defense is 4.5 to 5%. But that's a very big number. The health industry is 18%. The indirect money that's spent, that comes out of the defense industry based on the indirect expenditures that they make, is a significant number as well. So, you know, our economy is probably 33 to 35% dependent upon the combination of healthcare and defense. And the defense jobs are spread out throughout 50 states. That's almost like they were carefully salted in all of the states so that every senator and very many of the congressmen all have either manufacturing jobs or military installations that are within their district, so that they can be talking about jobs when they're, or they can be thinking about jobs when they're spending money on defense.
I got to say, man, you've been talking about since the inception of the Ukraine war, you've been talking about end game. You've been talking about why are we misleading these people. You've been talking about, well, are we going to be with these people for the long haul?
Right.
And we've led them down this primrose path that we're going to be here with them. We're going to hold their hand until they defeat Russia. You've been saying that nonstop.
Well, yeah, I've been saying in the beginning, when we set out this position, not just now, but in 2020 when Biden signed the November 14th agreement that basically said that we would sponsor them in the U.S. would propose Ukraine for NATO. When we did that, we were basically telling them that we were behind them. We had their back. We were going to spend money on them. But the American public didn't know that. U.S. Congress hadn't agreed to that. And we hadn't done all the analysis to demonstrate that from a real politics standpoint, we really cared enough about that to stand behind that promise. And that promise, of course, undoubtedly led Zelensky and Ukraine into taking tough positions with Russia that ultimately led to the invasion.
Which, well, now, based on the fact that there is a finite amount of dollars that the federal government has to spend, and now they clearly have to move dollars over to Israel. They're not going to abandon Israel, and we can't. So Ukraine comes now, unfortunately.
Well, you know, this whole Pax Americana concept that America could impose itself across the world, that we would be the world's policeman on behalf of what we would say is democracy. It's not clear exactly that's where we exercise our muscle or why. But the notion that we can do that is easy to talk about, very hard to support financially when push comes to shove across the world. Is coming to shove across the world right now. And sending money in support of Taiwan and potentially fanning the flames of China with respect to Taiwan only increases the possibility that we could be requiring ourselves to send enormous amounts of money to three different places across the world, money that we really can't afford, you know, that we've got huge deficits we're running. We've got programs in America that need funding. And here we are promising to spend money lavishly, really, in other parts of the world. And the question is, do we really have a dog in that fight? Okay. And the American public is the one that needs to decide, do we have a dog in that fight?
All right. We've got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. You can join the conversation. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Up US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting,
a teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
What's new, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa. What's new, pussycat? Whoa. Pussycat, I've got flowers and lots of hours to spend with you. So go and powder your cute little pussycat nose. Pussycat, pussycat, I love you. Yes, I do.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. You know, Sandy, the new House Speaker clearly is wearing the same clothes as those before him, because he's clearly saying, listen, we want to definitely, if you pull out those dollars from the IRS, to expand that where they can go after all of these people with all this money. Now we'll consider saying, okay, we'll give you this money for the wars. I think that's absolutely insane, Sandy, to tie one to the other, knowing the financial constraints that that our government is under. And that really kind of shows you where these people are coming from.
Well, I think it does. I think the cynicism of it is pretty apparent. And I don't know why the Democrats don't do a better job of explaining that the money to be expended in the IRS is really going to be a revenue producing. You know, it's $80 billion, but the $80 billion is an investment in securing taxes that should otherwise have been paid that aren't being paid in excess of $80 billion. So that it's there'll be an annual return on that expenditure based on increased returns. So really what the Republicans are saying is, we're worried about the deficit, but if you want to spend more money abroad, we want to cut these IRS expenditures to increase the deficit.
I know. It makes so sense.
Because their view is that, well, the people who have money that will be chased are probably predominantly Republican,
yeah, but,
in their mind, I think.
But, Sandy, if you're talking about deficit reduction, revenue is what you need.
Yeah.
And so to go after the revenue that's out there will automatically cut the budget. So what do they think people are just, you know, well, let's see. Let's go to the phone lines and CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. Let's see you explain it to us where we can understand it. Maybe you know.
Well, thank you, Earl and Sandy.
You want to see the budget cut. You want to see the budget cut. Tell us how it makes sense to cut the IRS, which would bring in revenue. How that makes sense.
I guess I'm going to chase you and Sandy no matter what day you are on. Sandy, thank you. The Republicans.
That's why I changed to Tuesday, CJ. I thought this was an evasive action. Gosh darn it, you're one shrewd devil.
Tuesdays are one of my favorite days, Sandy, but you know, I do appreciate you gentlemen taking my call, and I know I get wound up, and I try to point out the hypocrisy, and I think the Republicans question the money in Ukraine because of all the corruption. They want accountability. They want to know where that money's going, what it's spent on, what it's for, because we're depleting our ammunitions and readiness, because this president's walking us right into World War III, like I've warned you about for now years.
So let me ask you, what is he doing that is walking us into World War III? That's his fault. What would you do different?
Oh my gosh, you really okay?
Oh wait, wait, but wait, about, wait, okay, wait, wait, ahead, wait a minute, wait a minute, because we're gonna get the Afghanistan withdrawal thing here. Can we, if we can skip through that bit of history and look just at current affairs? What about that?
Because he's half-assed.
Ah,
he
okay,
does things half-assed. And I hope I can say that.
Well, you already said it twice. And so that's going to lead us into World War III because of that, CJ?
Well, I'll tell you what. If Joe Biden is half-assed, I know who the other half is. And I don't mean you, CJ. I mean the past president.
We watched him, you know, campaign. I'm the only one that could handle Putin. I'm the only one that could.
The only one that could handle Putin.
The build up.
But the person who said they were the only one to handle Putin was Donald Trump, wasn't it?
Yes.
Well,
yeah.
He didn't invade other countries, did he, Sandy?
No, I'm just saying you were putting words into Joe Biden's mouth, but I don't think Joe Biden had those words. I think those words were Donald Trump who said that. But go ahead.
I would like an answer from you, Sandy. What country was invaded during President Trump's term?
Well, I think Syria managed to fall apart pretty dramatically during that time period. But that was probably Donald Trump's luck more than anything else. I'm not sure that Donald Trump activities, he was fanning the flames of problems for much of his time. He was talking about invading Iran. He was talking about, I think the world thought that Donald Trump was a dangerous animal, but go ahead.
Can I respond? Because
go ahead.
Iran, okay, here's facts. You speak of Iran, Trump had them down to 300,000 barrels a day. Now, you know what they're doing? They're doing 3.5 million and add two zeros because it's $100 barrel oil. What kind of money is now? Because Biden's not enforcing the sanctions that Trump had on him. He released them. He's begging them to produce oil.
Well,
because now he's.
Go ahead, quick.
It is, if you give me a chance.
We've been giving you a chance. What are you talking about? You've been on for the last 5 minutes. I can't let you continue. Because, you know, number one, you know, we're up against the break, and so we got to go to break. 844-967-2789. It's Tuesdays with Sandy Williams. You can join the conversation. We'll be right back.
Pussycat, pussycat, I've got flowers and lots of hours to spend with you. So go and powder your cute little pussycat nose. Pussycat, pussycat, I love you. Yes, I do. You and your pussycat nose. What's new, pussycat? And if my wishes can all come true, I'll soon be kissing your sweet little pussycat lips. Pussycat, pussycat, I love you. Yes, I do. You and your pussycat.
Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends. This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5
The Tap, 93.5. The Tap, 93.5. The Tap.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers called on the state Supreme Court to throw out Wisconsin's current legislative maps in a legal brief filed Monday. The state Supreme Court announced Friday that it would take up the case challenging Wisconsin's maps. Evers joined State Attorney General Josh Call in writing a brief supporting redrawing the maps. Evers added he wants the case to move swiftly and that not one election should take place under the current gerrymandered maps. The Supreme Court will hear oral argument on the case next month. Different hunting seasons in Wisconsin start next month. Gun deer season is the busiest. It starts November 18th. There are also hunting seasons for beaver, mink, muskrat, and otters. The Department of Natural Resources is reminding hunters about safety and to make sure they have the proper permits. The DNR is telling non-hunters to be aware that a lot of people will be in and out of the woods in the coming weeks. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. A new report from the University of Wisconsin-Madison found that Wisconsin's poverty rates are dropping, just not as quickly as they are in other states. The author of the report, Stephen Deller, cited a lack of affordable child care as a negative impact on the state's poverty rates and noted that COVID stimulus checks helped in dropping child poverty rates. The report also found that after the Great Recession, states that cut funding for programs to avoid raising taxes recovered slower than those that didn't. A Wisconsin State Assembly committee has approved a bill that would allow school districts to hire unlicensed superintendents. The bill would allow districts to hire superintendents without an education license, and opponents say the move will cheapen the work done by administrators and make it more difficult for the Department of Public Instruction to deal with problem staff or administrators. Now that the bill has been approved by the Education Committee, it will go to the full assembly for a vote. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different.
Bucks hold on to beat the Miami Heat. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens. Milwaukee jumped out to an early 25-point lead, but the Heat came back. The Bucks held on to win 122-114. Damian Lillard had 25 points and was asked, how did the Bucks' backup players perform?
I think they just responded really well, you know, coming off last night. I think everybody understood that, you know, when we don't move the ball and, you know, create opportunities for each other, our offense can struggle, scramble situations.
The Bucks are in Toronto tomorrow night. College football. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell asked about receiver Chimray Dike or running back Braylon Allen on their injury status.
No, don't know a whole lot. They were out of practice on Sunday. Didn't do a whole lot. Have to find out some things as we move forward in the week.
The Packers face the Rams Sunday. Rashawn Gary says as he signed his new $107 million contract, he remembered the night he got the call being drafted by the Packers in the first round.
First time I got a phone call and I picked up and realized I was the Packers.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Bug Tussle Wireless. Bug Tussle, we're out there.
We will gradually become partly cloudy and the wind will die down here throughout the day today. Our high right around 36 this afternoon. It is going to be a cold one for the kiddos. Trick-or-treat temperatures in the mid-20s, so definitely a winter coat under the costume type of Halloween. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, high of 37. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit btussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle. We're out there because you're out there.
On air, 93.5 FM. Online, thetap.com. And on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
I thought love was only true in fairy tales. Meant for someone else, but not for me. A love was out to get me. That's the way it seemed. Disappointment haunted all my dreams. Then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace of doubt in my mind. I'm in love. I'm a believer. I couldn't leave her if I tried.
All right, welcome back. The Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You're smiling, Sam.
Well, I'm just smiling because I thought it was the Monkees, and it was. You know, the Monkees were interesting because they were put together by a TV, you know, the TV show assembled them.
I used to watch it.
They weren't a group that existed and then became a TV show. No, they were a group that was put together for the TV show.
You know, yes, I used to watch the Monkees. There wasn't a whole lot to watch back in those days.
No.
And so, yeah, that's what we got to see. What do we have? Channel 6, Channel 4, Channel 10?
Yeah, in the beginning it was Channel 4.
Yes.
Only. WTMJ. And then it grew to Channel 6, Channel 12, and then UHF came on board.
Oh, yeah.
And you had to have one of those converters. UHF. Yeah. You had to have a converter up on the top of your TV set, and it never came in very clearly. It was always like it was being telecast from Paris or something.
So when you watch the screens now, 150-inch screens, I remember when we got our first television and the screen, I don't know, 10 inches?
Yeah, ours was 7 inches, and it was in a box that weighed about 200 pounds. Big wooden cabinet.
Hey, really, and real wood.
Yeah.
Yeah, they put them in real wood cabinets, black and white, mm-hmm. You know.
Needless to say, this sounds like we are. This is like us. In our day, this would be like people talking about Thomas Edison.
Yeah, you know, Calvin was in his history books. He was looking at those times. Anyway, let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. How you doing, man?
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Sandy. Welcome to Tuesday. and happy Halloween to both of you. A couple of weenies here. Anyway... first off, we the people, that means all of us, are this thing we call government. And we as the people need to decide what our priorities are, and what we do. One thing I don't understand is how the Republicans actually can have any of the gall to talk about attacking a wrong country when they attack Iraq, when... Saudi Arabia and also Afghanistan are the ones that actually attacked us on 9/11. And we go and attack a wrong country. So I don't think they should be talking about wrong countries because we actually are not supporting anybody that's attacking a wrong country. Also, I would ask the question, because you know me, I'm not someone that's in favor of the military-industrial complex. But I do
think neither am I.
Right. But I don't think we should be making these decisions while conflicts are actually going on. If we do not, at this point, support these different conflicts that are going on right now, there's going to be a vacuum there. And that vacuum right now, there are so many authoritarian leaders out there in the world at this point that those vacuums will be filled by those authoritarian leaders. Russia would actually love it if we don't do anything at this point, because you know what? They will just take it all over. They will team up with Israel. They'll team up with Hamas and go after Israel. The Israeli people were the ones that were attacked first. And honestly, Israel is not, like some people think, the 52nd state of the United States. But at the same time, they are a friend to the United States. And honestly, they're only protecting themselves. And Netanyahu, again, authoritarian dictator who actually needs to go, and hopefully the Israeli people will make him go. But you know what? If they would just release the hostages, what Israel is asking for, that war would be over. And I'm going to say another thing. I feel so bad for the Palestinian people, but I'm sorry, people. We see it on TV now. This is war. This is what war looks like. If you don't like war, don't get into wars. And don't put people into power that are going to take us into wars. But I am so tired of Republican callers calling up on these shows, because first off, they own all of the corporate media. Corporate media would be very, very happy if all of a sudden the IRS people would go away, because they're the ones that are the billionaire class. So they would love that. Second, we don't get a chance except for on civic media to be able to tell the truth or the progressive side of the story or the logical side or the common sense side of the story.
Okay, Tom, thank you very much for all that. Sandy, you want to respond to anything?
Well, I mean, I think common sense is where we all ought to resort. We all ought to retreat to that. And at the beginning, it was clear that I wasn't in support of the U.S. foreign policy with respect to Eastern Europe in the form in which it had evolved. But Tom is right that once you get into a conflict, once you've gone down the primrose path with, for instance, Ukraine and supported them to this point, you have to understand that we are pregnant as well as Ukraine with respect to the circumstance that's been created. And this is a further example of the problem of in the U.S. where we don't have an end plan, an end game when we start something. Okay. It was fun for us to talk about democracy and to try and be sort of a Russophobic kind of an approach to the dealings with Ukraine, and to paint Russia as a bad guy, and to paint Ukraine as somebody that needed our support, in spite of the fact that both Ukraine and Russia were oligarchical, corrupt government places. But when push comes to shove, after we've gotten into the game, after we've put Ukraine in the position they're in, now the table is different. And unfortunately for us, because we didn't have a good end game, now we've got this problem to deal with. But the problem is not well solved by simply turning our back on it and walking away.
You know, Sandy, it clearly, I think, that the American people, that we don't understand the magnitude of what we are involved in right now. Because, as you stated, the amount of money that we've given to Ukraine and allowed this thing to go on as long as it's gone on, and Russia is certainly sitting back, and all along they had figured we weren't going to have the stomach.
That's right. I mean, they know the election cycle. They know what goes on. They're even in a position to have an impact in Washington in all sorts of indirect ways. Look how much money Ukraine was spending in Washington. And I'm sure Russia finds ways to do the same thing. We need an end game. And, we've seen this for the last 60 years. We didn't have an end game in Vietnam. What happened there? We didn't have an end game in Iraq. What happened there? We didn't have an end game in Afghanistan. What happened there? We don't have foresight in our planning with respect to our policies. We have knee-jerk reactions that are usually driven by domestic political flavor.
So based on what Republicans are kind of alluding to, clearly they want us to pull out of our financial support for Ukraine. It's safe to say that, right?
Well, and just think, when people call in and want to talk about the way we backed out of Afghanistan and had 13 American deaths and as a result, left behind a bunch of value and showed weakness, what kind of weakness would it show for the U.S. to simply stop funding Ukraine now? That would demonstrate that America could not be relied upon as an ally in a war contest, okay? And so that would be the ultimate show of weakness. And, I would question how we got into it, but I believe that once we're in it, we have to take a reasoned approach to getting out of it. And a reasoned approach is not simply to shut down funding for Ukraine and determine the outcome of the war thereby.
Let's go to Cindy from Appleton. Good morning to you, Cindy. Excuse me, how you doing? You got snow up there?
Oh my God, it's horrible. I didn't know we were going to get this stuff. Anyway, I have a question for Sandy, because I talked to a Republican friend this weekend who told me that Biden started this war with Israel and Palestine, and if Trump would have been in there, because he's a Trumper, this never would have happened. And so I would just like to know if how I responded to him was worth any value or if I was way off base. So you can help me out with that one.
Well, did Biden start the war between in the Hamas and Israel? I can't even find a way to make that connection. You know, it defies logic. Trump was a supporter of Netanyahu. Netanyahu is the one who fell down on this particular job. It appears to be a failure of intelligence on the part of the Israelis, and whether that was all at the feet of Netanyahu or he was simply the man at the top when it happened. But the problems between Hamas and the Gazans and Israel is decades old, and has not been created by Biden by any stretch of the imagination. And I don't see any Israelis or anybody else in the world pointing at America and saying, America, you caused this invasion by Hamas.
I think, Sandy, it is absolutely just unfounded. And it just goes to show what we're up against in this country when people can really believe that Joe Biden, the president of the United States, is a guy who chose to start a war.
Well, I see.
Come on.
I don't think the Trumpers think that. I think they think Trump could magically have kept it from happening in some fashion, when in fact he probably would have fanned the flames of it by the kind of international policies that he was implementing. You know, the only thing people could say about Donald Trump internationally is that he was completely unpredictable. And some would say, well, that's a good thing. Most would say in international affairs that being unpredictable in the long term is a terrible thing.
You know, Sandy, in the face of all of what you just said, it looks like he's got a 50-50 chance on getting back. With all those things you just said, he's got a 50-50 shot at becoming the president again.
And the horrifying thing about that is many of the people who follow him, who would vote for him, will tell you about how it is that he's got all these personal weaknesses, how it is that he's got character flaws,
right,
how it is that he's unpredictable, how it is, you know, everybody knows what they're getting here. And the horrifying thing about it is that everyone also knows that this is a person, they're electing a person who wants to rise outside of the Constitution into something that smells and looks like autocracy, okay? And unfortunately, I think there's some subliminal appetite in the United States based on people who are frustrated with gridlock in Washington who have decided that what they want is a strong man.
So,
and the only person out there who behaves like that is Donald Trump, in spite of the fact that the person that behaves like that behaves like a WWE version of a dictator. It's a World Wrestling Federation dictator that we would get.
But Sandy, dictator, you're using verbiage that the United States has used constantly about other leaders internationally. And here we are, knowing we've got one ourselves.
Well, look who he talks about. First of all, he gets confused. Viktor Orban is the head of Hungary, and Erdogan is the head of Turkey. And he gave a talk a couple of days ago and talked about how wonderful Viktor Orban was as the head of Turkey because he was a dictator, a hardline ruler, and he was able to toe the line between the West and Russia, blah, blah, blah. So he sucks up to and likes and respects and thinks that strong men are the answer. You know, he talks about all of the dictators in that fashion. What a shrewd guy Xi is, you know, what a shrewd person Putin is, what smart people they all are, how well they are able to navigate the world of foreign affairs. He's just telling you, look, if you elect me, I'm going to be one of those guys too.
All right, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
.5 The Tap.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know what's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Well, since she put me down, I've been up doing in my head. I come in late at night, and in the morning I just lay in bed. But Ronnie, you look so fine. And my love wouldn't take much time for you to help me run, to help me get her out of my heart. Help me run.
Welcome. Here we go.
To the early show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Let's go. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Let's go right to the phone lines. Jack from Racine. Hey, good morning to you, Jack. You say what?
Good morning. Really enjoying your discussion today. A lot of good points made and information. I see we now we've got Mega Mike as a leader in Congress. He's going to split things up and only go with, look at money for Israel because Israel's the most important thing right now. Well, a couple of quick comments on Israel and Ukraine. Ukraine, I think we got to do it. We can't allow the Russians to invade another country, a democracy, a friend of ours, or any other country like this where we have a chance to do, help people fight for their freedom. So I'm really for continuing that. And Israel, you got Netanyahu. He thumbed his nose at the last three presidents. He basically, right at George Bush's face, you know, insulted him. Same thing with Obama. Same thing with Biden. And now you never hear anything about that on the cable news or places these days. The Israelis, you know, they're responding as any country would to just a horrific type of invasion and the things that were done. But, you know, Israel has treated Palestinians poorly for a long time. They've got the settlements where they're taking land illegally and internationally and by their own country's laws. In fact, one Israeli woman on TV said that Israel took two divisions away from the place where that attack came and moved them over to protect the settlements of the Orthodox Jews who are, and a lot of them Americans who go over there, who are taking land from Palestinians. So it's just a terrible. Of course, then there's the bigger issue of what happens with the U.S. as our ships get attacked. So we've been funding Israel to the tune of $5 billion a year more than any other country in the world. And they damn well ought to be concerned about what our government is telling them when we've got our ass on the line, too.
Hey,
so
Jack.
That's all I got to say. Well, your reaction.
You said a mouthful. Thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to respond?
Well, I do think that, the Biden administration is apparently doing the right thing, intervening and saying, look, we need to worry about humanitarian issues in Gaza, and we need to make sure that there's humanitarian aid, and we need you to maybe suspend some of your military activities that are threatening civilians as they are. And the Israelis, you're right, are basically saying, no, this is our business, and we're going to put them into, I think the most recent thing was he said he was going to commit, Netanyahu said he was going to commit Hamas to the dustbin of history, which sounds an awful lot like a massacre-type conversation. And I think that's, you know, I think right now we're in an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth part of the Bible. But unfortunately, there might be some disproportion in the world's eyes between the activities that are ongoing in terms of Hamas apparently has about 20,000 fighters. There are 2.8 million people living in the Gaza Strip. And so, you know, the number of fighters that can be attacked and conquered is disproportionate. There undoubtedly are many more than 20,000 who would fight on behalf of Hamas. They have 400 kilometers of underground tunnels. You know, the Gaza is a place that is not going to be easily overrun by the Israelis in a manner that will allow them to comb through all of the population and eliminate only the Hamas members. And so, unfortunately, I think we're in a situation where the baby's getting thrown out with the bathwater.
All right, let's go to Malik from Racine. Good morning to you, Malik. Thank you very much for the call. You say what, sir?
Hey, good morning, guys. I just wanted to call in. I am, you know, a Wisconsinite, but I am Palestinian as well. I wanted to thank you guys for having, you know, this issue brought up on your show and all that good stuff. I also want to just share a little bit of insight to say that, you know, there's a war on information going on.
True.
Israel spends millions of dollars, I think even, you know, quite a bit more money than, let's say, the Palestinians in regards to this issue, because a lot of the information that they spew is kind of, you know, either incorrect or just falsified completely. Unfortunately, a lot of this information doesn't get, you know, backtracked until later on. And a good example is with the, you know, the accusation that Hamas had, you know, butchered 40 babies, and Joe Biden later on went and confirmed that he did see it. However, right after that press conference, the U.S. You know, spokesperson said, yeah, there was no picture. We haven't confirmed it. Israel even went back. Even the first reporter that had said it, they were, you know, they brought it back. However, that damage was already done. And even in this country, there was this kind of Islamophobia. And we see even our neighbors in Chicago, there was a young kid that was murdered just because the landlord had a fear of this, you know, these guys are Hamas. They're going to come to America, this, and that. I think the biggest takeaway, you know, is there's a lot of this is, like you guys said, it's a layered conflict. It's been going on for a while. I think a lot of the players that are, you know, involved in this conflict, they all have their own interests. I don't think people, especially like Russia or any of these other countries, China, they don't have, you know, moral obligations to maybe the Palestinian people in Gaza or West Bank. They have their own personal agenda with their politics and stuff like that. But I think it's just important to let people know that, you know, the ISM, the local Muslim community in Milwaukee, we have a lot of information that's available to people. And you guys are more than welcome to come and ask any questions that you guys have. I think that the one thing that I just want to clarify and just make sure that it was clear for everybody is just to say that I think that, you know, this Hamas to ISIS is extremely blown out of proportion.
So
I think that, you know,
Malik,
well, I just want to clarify.
So let me say this to you, because we got to go to break. Leave your number with Calvin. Can you do that for me, please?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and because we've got to go to a break, but yeah, make sure you leave your number, and I'll get with you after the show.
Well, one thing, Malik, I will agree Thank with, you. And it's something I said when the Ukrainian war started, and that is when war starts, fiction starts. Truth is the first mortality in war, and that's obviously the case as well in this situation. We have to realize that every piece of news we get from a war front has to be taken with a grain of salt and skepticism.
Yeah, that's exactly what you said with Ukraine.
Yeah,
you said you can't. The
first mortality when the first gunshots of war occur is truth, and from then on, both sides will be providing you with untold amounts of half truths and vagaries.
All right, we've got to go to a break. We'll be right back.
Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the Valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley.
93.5
The Tap. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.